Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for him.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Day 3!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio J3, responding to your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, send to idea at wretched.org. You can also text your thoughts to 877-282-2337. Every once in a while, we dedicate an entire week to mailbag questions because they tend to be, I think, they're always so earthy and practical, aren't they? Rather than talking theology, rather than talking abstractly, I just always find to be really, really helpful. And I think it's always good for us to hear what other people are going through, because so often you think you're the only one going through something, and then you hear somebody going through the same thing and you can go, okay, good. All right. I'm not the only one who's thinking or dealing with this type of thing. And it's good that we hear what's happening in other people's lives, which it is why so important that in your church, without it becoming a blob fest, you know, you walk through the door. Hey, how you doing? Well, let's start with my ankles. They're getting a little creaky and my kids don't call as much, where it's just like, blah, we don't dump and unload everything. But shouldn't we have a culture where we get to express struggles? It's good for others to hear your struggles. It's good for them to know, okay, I'm not alone. And they might even look at you and go, you know, I kind of thought that their life was perfect. Because we do tend to give that impression at church, don't we? To discover, oh, you've got a wayward child. Oh, you've got financial struggle. You're dealing with what? Health issue? So I don't think that we want to become just this. We just open up our bowels every Sunday. But we'd be doing each other a favor if we were willing to share life. Yeah, there's roses. Sometimes things smell fragrantly, but there's a lot of thorns too. 877-282-2337.
All right, we'll start with Adrian. It's a text from Adrian. Todd, how do I address feeling overwhelmed?
Speaking of Adrian.
Mm-hmm. And Rocky.
What?
And Rocky.
Adrian and
Yo,
Rocky.
Yo, Adrian.
Oh, that. Oh,
that's what I think about. I get the 80s reference and you don't.
I think that was 70s, wasn't
maybe
it? Then Rocky hit it. Okay, here's a mystery. You think you know a guy. You know Tom Hammond?
I do.
Jimmy, right?
I
the
do.
Author of What Time is Purple? He actually said with a straight face, Rocky is one of the greatest movies of all time.
You just, okay. Look, you just got to be from West Tennessee.
I was incredulous. So what did I do? I went and found it. Then Mrs. Friel and I looked it up. We got through about 2 minutes. The best movie of all time. You know what? It was another one that people were like, oh, this is the most amazing movie, was Top Gun Maverick. Yeah. The part 2 of Top Gun. great. Great movie. I just didn't get it. But Adrian is not only the wife of Rocky. That's right.
That's right.
So it's a woman's name too.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, do you remember Adrian from Wretched years ago?
Oh, yeah. I just met him.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Wasn't he here?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Did he come by for a visit?
That would explain everything. Yeah, because he's going to be helping us with our campus events. And that's why I wanted to interrupt your message from Adrian, because I couldn't figure out a way to sneak this in any other way. Adrian is going to be joining us. We're going to be at North Georgia University and we're going to be at Kennesaw State. We'll be sharing more deets on this. Deeds.
Yeah, there you go.
You got the hip and relevant, baby. September 23rd, September 24th. If you'd like to attend, Greg Gifford and I are going to be trying to answer the question for students, why aren't you happier? Because they're not as happy as they could be. There's so many parts missing for them. And we want to go to the campus and try to explain to them, you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. And we're going to try to guide them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it'll be evangelistic. It'll also be, I think, very, very practical and helpful for young believers who are like, why doesn't this feel better? You can learn more about that at fortisinstitute.org. And then in October, going to be in Oklahoma University, and Adrian will be joined. He's going to head up to make sure the production, everything gets done. So just a little bit of a reunion that's kind of sweet.
There you go.
After all these, he's been out doing his own thing now for 7-8 years, maybe. Wow. And now we get to hit the road again. So looking forward to spending time with Adrian.
There you go.
Which I resisted doing for years. For years, I refused to call him Adrian because I figured his whole life was filled.
Low-hanging fruit.
Speaking of Adrian, yeah, I've had too much coffee. Speaking of Adrian, this might actually help you to realize something about yourself that you could adjust and perhaps avoid some heartbreak, not yours, but others' heartbreak. Adrian was such a dedicated person to this ministry. When we were back, we were over in Buford at the old brick studio with the burgundy drapes, if you remember that. And we were thin. I mean, woo! I think there were three of us. We were doing it. There was so much to be done. And it wasn't uncommon for me to walk into the office in the morning and Adrian was sleeping on the couch. And I know in my heart, I appreciated him. I mean, I was like, I'm so glad. Look at the dedication. And I'm sure he got so much stuff done. But I didn't want a guy sleeping on a couch. You know, it's like, I want you to go home and, you know, sleep in your own bed and spend time with your family. Don't. So I would try to express to him, oh, don't do this, dude. Don't do this. We got to get this straightened out. And because of my face and my tone, which I thought was perfect, I was communicating a scold. Like, hey, what do you think you're doing sleeping on the couch? What's the matter with you? Don't do this. That's what I communicated when I wasn't communicating that. Why? Because our faces can sometimes communicate what we are not intending to say. And so can our tone. I learned that lesson. Am I any better at it? Sometimes. I'm better with my face, but I have to remind myself, what do they call it? Settled face, listening face, where it says this is like your at rest face. Mine can look kind of crabby, especially if I'm listening intensely. I get the furrowed brow and I'm sinking in and I look like if I had an axe, I might be wielding it against you, but that's not what's going on in my heart. All that to say, learn from Adrian, watch your face. Watch your tone. I have to. And now, back to our regularly scheduled Adrian.
Adrian says, Todd, how do I address feeling overwhelmed by the amount of praying I can't do? Sometimes I find myself mourning the fact that I cannot pray for everyone I know every day. And at times I feel that I can't pray at all because I can't pray for everyone.
Yeah, sorry, bro. I'm not going to relieve that burden from you. Because I don't think that we should have that burden. Dude. Your sentiment is exceptional in both definitions of exceptional. There are not many people who have that burden, and it is an awesome sentiment that you're wrangling with. So I don't want to remove that from you. Having said that, I do think that there are ways that you can not pistol whip yourself because you don't do it as much as you long to. First of all, you need to know the Lord understands. That doesn't give you license to be lazy. But you need to know that your Lord is aware of your heart and that you want to be praying more and more. But we also need to remember, He does have other duties for you. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean 24/7 prayer. That would mean you can never go to bed. It's that you are a regular prayer, that your life is, you've just got prayer baked into it, and you're faithful to praying regularly throughout the day, maybe dedicated times during the day. And that's what it is to pray without ceasing, not 24/7, raising up your requests to the heavens. So know that your Lord has other assignments for you. You got a family, you got a wife, you can't neglect that. You got to go to work and make money to pay for bills and food, right? So you got to be doing those. So the Lord understands. Do your best to work your schedule so that you can be praying as much as you can without neglecting your other responsibilities. Netflix is not a responsibility. Pickleball is not a responsibility. And so you need to take a look at your schedule, work on dedicating times, pray throughout the day. That's easy to do. And if it interferes with those other realms of responsibility, then you just need to make some adjustments, and you'll go through different seasons where your calendar looks a little bit different. How do you know if you're finding the balance? Ask those that are involved. Ask your, you can't be praying at work. You got to work. Ask your wife, ask your kids, and you'll sort it, and it'll look different every season. But dude, the last thing I want to do is relieve you of that prayer burden. This is Wretched Radio.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical, but on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. No truth bombs without love, no sugar coating without substance, just a balanced biblical approach to the tough questions you're facing every day. Emotions aren't meant to be ignored, but they're also not meant to rule you. Boundaries aren't the answer, but neither is blind trust. And feminism, it's not about equality anymore, it's about dethroning God. If you're tired of the empty words and the shallow advice, it's time for something better. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. No platitudes, no nonsense, just the truth wrapped in wisdom. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making himself known through his creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine. God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists, only rebels in denial of what every person knows to be true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, I'm happy to be corrected. This is Wretched Radio. What did I blow on that last question?
You didn't blow. You didn't blow anything. I was just, I think it would be good to emphasize to Adrian that you can't, and you did in a way, you can't pray for everyone every day, obviously, and you're not supposed to. I think that kind of intercession belongs to Jesus.
Yes.
And because he's the one who always, who lives to make intercession for us. And so I just wanted to say that he shouldn't feel guilty for not being able to.
Which I said that.
I know you did in a way. I just wanted to
what
make
do you mean
sure.
In a way, I said it very explicitly.
I said it prettier.
If you could just give me a minute. I need to pray for you. 877-282-2337.
Todd, this is from Jonathan. I have a friend who believes that Christians should give away all their possessions. How would you counter that?
By going to the Bible, there is only one story that would give somebody any sort of foundation to suggest that they shouldn't have or own anything, and that would be the story of the rich young ruler. This rich young ruler approached Jesus on a horse. That's not how most people transported themselves. Clearly, he was a rich young ruler. And Jesus, when he was asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, said something shocking. Keep the commandments. All right, question. Is that how we get to heaven? And you say, well, no, because we can't keep the commandments. How do you know that? Because other parts of the Bible say that. And we don't just take one verse in the Bible without considering the analogy of Scripture. What does this chapter have to say about the subject? What about this book? What about this testament? What about the entire Bible? So we let Scripture interpret Scripture. So when Jesus said, keep the commandments, that's not the way to get to heaven. He was doing something unique. He was trying to help the rich young ruler who clearly dug being a rich young ruler. You got a sin problem. And that was very clear when he said, yeah, I've done all that. So Jesus, to help him understand, you're not perfect. You need me. He said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And what happened? The rich young ruler walked away sad because he had much. Jesus' heart went out to him, incidentally. Is that how we're supposed to get to heaven? Did Jesus just say, the way for you to get to heaven is by selling all of your stuff and giving it to the poor? And you would say, well, I don't think so. How do you know? The analogy of Scripture. Where else in the Bible does it say the way to earn your way to heaven is by selling all of your stuff? Or that the only way for a Christian to live is by possessing nothing? First of all, this would violate the premise of the 10th commandment. Let's go OT for a moment. That you shouldn't covet your neighbor's stuff. Clearly, it's okay for your neighbor to have stuff. Clearly, it's okay for you to have stuff. You just can't covet it. Ownership is never the issue in the Bible. The Bible is never really, in the Old Testament, by the way, lots of rich guys. Solomon, richest man in the world. David, Abraham. And God didn't ever tell them, you need to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. No, it's what our heart is. And when it comes to the position of wealth in our heart, is it an idol? Well, then you got yourself some repenting to do, and you got to get some priorities adjusted. But he never says, get rid of it, divest yourself of everything. Furthermore, 2 Corinthians 8:9 talks about giving. I can't give. It's assumed. Give out of what? Give out of your abundance. So you give based on what you have. If you don't have anything, you can't give anything. You get rid of everything. I don't even see my paycheck. It just goes right to the Salvation Army. It gets deposited directly into their account or wherever it goes. That's not what the Bible points toward. The Bible points toward make as much as you can. Just don't sin while you're doing it. And then Be open-handed. Be generous. God loves a cheerful giver. Well, if you've got nothing, you can't give what you don't possess. So have a right heart attitude toward wealth. Make as much as you can without selling your soul, without compromising your values, without doing anything illegal, without creating an idol of money, because there's a real temptation. And doesn't the Bible warn about that? And by the way, the Bible doesn't say to rich people that you can't go to heaven. Is it difficult for them in that money can so easily be an idol? Yes, but that doesn't mean rich people aren't in heaven. Abraham, in heaven, right? And he was rich. It's a heart issue, not a lack of a bank account issue. You simply don't have biblical support for the idea that we are supposed to sell everything we have and own nothing. Furthermore, there's a positive aspect of this. When you get a gift, what does that do to you? What does it do to you? You say, well, it depends. If it's a blender and it makes better smoothies, I get a better protein drink. Oh, okay, but what does it do to your heart? Oh, somebody cared about me. Somebody loved me enough to go get this thing and package it up and present it to me. Wow, I'm loved and cared for. God wants to love and care for you. And he expresses that by giving you gifts, not the least of which is his son, of course. But if we don't let God give us any gifts, we just deflect it. Nope. Then you're robbing yourself of the joy of knowing that your God loves you and he does indeed delight in giving his children gifts. 877-282-2337.
All right, from Gabrielle. Todd, when did church start becoming a once-a-week affair? How often did the early church meet, and how often should we meet formally and informally?
Yeah, I don't know that you can draw a line and say it was in 1242 that we started doing this. Well, you want to jump in?
Well, I mean, I just always thought during the Constantine era that didn't it become more institutional then?
But I think not only did it become more institutional because Christianity was not an institutionalized religion. There was not a Christian center, including Jerusalem. Everybody was dispersed. And it certainly wasn't Rome. If you wanted to pick a center, it would be North Africa. Even so, it wasn't this organized, structured religion until Constantine helped with that, but it grew probably about the 500s. It started to become more institutionalized. And that's when it really started to become what we would consider today the Roman Catholic Church. When did it become a weekly thing? Well, they would do more than just weekly, even in the Middle Ages. They had matins service. They would do Lenten services. So there was more church going on. But I think that there are other things that have moved us from being a more of a communal religion, meaning that we do everything as a community. And some people would argue it was Henry VIII. He's the one who just kind of created a different denomination, which allowed you then to kind of go shopping. But I've heard somebody else say, no, it wasn't Henry VIII that caused people to not be committed to their local church because there are options. It was Henry Ford. Because now you can get into your car and you can drive everywhere that you want. So I would put Henry Ford on the list of contributors of changing church dynamic from being a daily to a weekly thing, but he's not alone. Preceding him would have been the Industrial Revolution. I think upward mobility, the fact that we can live very far distances from one another. When we think of, I think, the early centuries, most of the Christian centers, they were in bigger towns like Ephesus, Philippi, but they tended to be closer to one another, to really be living next to one another. And so they were assembling regularly. We see that, by the way, immediately in Acts chapter 2. They're just getting together all the time because they wanted to. And I would also say because it was probably easier to. And so because of the Industrial Revolution, upward mobility, Henry Ford, telecommunications, we're kind of a scattered people. And I might suggest we might just be an overscheduled people. Furthermore, I would suggest that we've lost, and this is where you can't trace the line. We've lost to a degree, not everybody, but lost to a degree what Christianity is supposed to be about. It's not just seeing some familiar folks who get cleaned up well on Sunday morning. That's not what it's supposed to be. Now, the good news is there are people who try to counter that. They call them small groups. They're midweek groups, getting together to do life. And I say, rock on with that. But I think that we could go even further. That my main friends should be my church friends. When I think about going out to dinner, it should be with my fellow church mates, because I want to be doing life together with them, because that's what Christianity is about. And that is why membership in a local church is so crucial. And that's why we need to understand it as it's not just something that affords some privileges, but it brings us into a body where we do life together. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The gender ideology machine just claimed another victim, this time free speech itself. An Australian activist faces a potential $200,000 fine for the crime of stating biological reality. Her offense? Well, she called two men exactly what they are, men, after watching them hospitalize female soccer players. You can watch the footage for yourself if you can stomach it. You'll find it somewhere online. But Justin Dennis, the soccer player, literally broke these women on the field before then suing them for complaining about it. The New South Wales court says the activist unlawfully vilified Dennis and another man by warning people about the injuries they're causing. Meanwhile, South Carolina is asking the Supreme Court to restore sanity to school bathrooms, appealing an appeals court ruling that's blocking their ban on biological males in female facilities. The state's emergency appeal points out what should be obvious: asking children to expose their bodies to the opposite sex brings heightened levels of stress. Nearly 20 states have already implemented these protections, but a 13-year-old girl claiming to be a boy has managed to get the Fourth Circuit to block South Carolina's policy. Speaking of dangerous delusions, NBC News just issued an apology that should make your blood boil. They apologized for misgendering the shooter who murdered two children and injured 17 others at a Christian school in Minneapolis. Little kids are dead, but NBC's priority was correcting pronouns. The Department of Justice is finally doing its job, suing Illinois for giving illegal aliens in-state tuition while charging American citizens from neighboring states full price. Attorney General Pam Bondi made it clear federal law prohibits giving benefits to illegal aliens that aren't available to U.S. citizens. Governor Pritzker thinks American taxpayers should be subsidizing education for people who broke our laws to get here, while our own children from Iowa or Indiana should pay out-of-state rates. It's kind of a warped priority system, if you ask me. And in Quebec, the government wants to ban all public prayer, using Muslim street demonstrations as the pretext, but making clear it applies to everyone. Campaign Life Coalition sees right through it, saying that this is about driving Christianity from the public square entirely. And in China, they continue their chemical warfare against America through fentanyl, with workplace positives doubling since 2020. A senator calls it what it is, intentional poisoning. The cartels launder their blood money through Chinese state banks while Beijing floods us with precursors. Former Attorney General Bill Barr testified that without China's production, the mass slaughter would effectively stop. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
WJLU, FM stereo, whatever that meant. That's what they used to say. This is Wretched Radio. FM stereo. Yep. Were you even in radio?
No.
When that was a thing?
But the station I worked for didn't update very often, so we were still playing those when I started working there.
I remember AM radio when it was, it's like, okay, no, turn the right, turn, no, lift up the radio. And so that it didn't just go, love will keep us together. Turn the radio. Think of me, babe. When, you're welcome. That was my impression of the captain and Tennille, who thought love would keep them together and they're now divorced. Love won't keep you together. You need more. And if you're anywhere near Daytona Beach, you need to consider joining me, Ken Ham, Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, H.B. Charles. I think I might be missing somebody for the WJLU Cornerstone Conference. You can learn more at WJLU.com. Join us. We will have a gas, and I am having a flashback. It's in Daytona Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, when have I ever been to Daytona Beach? And the answer is once. I was in Daytona Beach to do a debate with an atheist. Not Dan Barker. That was up at the University of Minnesota. That, by the way, if you want to see that archive, and that's at fortisplus.org. It's free. You can watch that. But this was a debate with some other president of some atheist association. And there's something that I still kind of regret about what I didn't do. It was the auditorium, it had tons of atheists there. So I was trying, I wasn't there to debate the guy. I'm there to try to present the gospel and also to try to be as deconstruction-y toward their atheistic worldview. And so I'd asked the organizers to bring a game of Scrabble, an open game of Scrabble, because I wanted to use it as a visual. I was going to take it and just throw it. And then ask some questions. Now, do you think that you can find any sort of organized information that got assembled through that random throwing of the Scrabble? In other words, are there any words spelled out there? There aren't. Well, that's kooky, because that's what evolution teaches. Big bang, unguided process, no intelligence, no order. And it just got organized all by itself. It's counterintuitive, isn't it? Now, what if I said to you, I'm going to throw the Scrabble game and it is just going to be one long run-on Pauline sentence? You'd go, you can't do that. That can't happen. You got to think. And then you've got to meticulously order things. And so not only does it need to communicate something, it needs to be ordered so it can communicate something that can actually be understood. And that doesn't happen through random chance and an unguided process. And I chickened out and I didn't throw the Scrabble game. And I still regret that to this day. But you
don't like messes.
Well, there's that. I did imagine, oh man, who's going to pick this up? Because there's a lot of Scrabble pieces. 877-282-WJLU.com if you'd like to join us this weekend. What?
.org.
What did I say?
.com. It's .org.
WJLU.org. That would not have been understood in the 60s and 70s. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Cody. Todd, my wife and I have three beautiful daughters, 6, 4, and 2 years old, with another daughter arriving any day now.
Wow.
My wife says she is done having children, mainly because of the strain it puts on her body and the desire to give full attention to the four that we have. Mm-hmm. I want to believe that the Lord is in control of all things, but I wonder what a biblical way is to navigate family size and how to approach the decision as being ours regarding how many kids we should have.
It's heart. It's heart. Now, most likely you will have to make a decision about your theology of procreation. Can a couple make a decision to stop having children by using a non-abortifacient birth control mechanism? You need to decide that, because if you don't, then I'm going to be pushing against your conscience, and I don't want to do that. I would say that God does allow us to make those types of decisions. Can it be a sin? Absolutely, because you know what? God's just not going to provide. There's no way we can't have another kid because I'm not trusting God. Well, then of course it would be a sin. But if you're doing it trusting God, but you're making some practical decisions, the health of your wife ain't a small consideration. Not only that, it's okay to consider finances as long as you're not doubting God in the process. I just don't think that every family needs to be the Duggars. I think that God does allow us to make those decisions with wisdom, and every couple needs to make those decisions. That's where I stand on this subject. Having said that, if you affirm that, then how do you go about making that decision when that's enough? And the answer is when you both agree, when you come to the consensus that we can have more children, then have more children. But unless you have a full majority vote, meaning both of you say, we want to have more kids, I don't think you should. I don't think you should. First of all, it's too big of a decision to push that on somebody. So I'm probably looking at you, Dad, because you might be inclined to say, well, I've got the leadership role. So if I decide we're having more kids, then we're having more kids. Well, I guess we could have that conversation and determine how biblically stout that is. But I would say that it ain't going to play well if a woman, because she's concerned about her body, she's feeling like I want to be able to give more to each child than what I'm able to give. And if we have more and more, I just feel like I'm not going to be doing my maternal duty to the degree that I desire to. To impose that, to counter that, I think you're just looking for mega problems. I think those big decisions, they need to be joint. I think you can create a list of those. Having babies is one of them. The house that you buy, that's another. Whether you move or not, how you invest money, those are big things. And they should, I think those decisions should be made jointly, because if you don't, yeah, okay. So, dude, you want to have more kids and she doesn't. All right, your desire is good, but I can almost forecast what a lot of evenings are going to look like in your home. Here's what they're going to look like. It's 2 a.m. and off in the distance, the newborn child is heard screaming. And it would not be necessarily a sin for your wife to elbow you and say, get up. You wanted more kids. So if you don't want that scene, do it jointly. And remember this too, if you happen to be one of those fellows, and there's a movement afoot right now of this patriarchal attitude that I think crosses a biblical line. You just render the verdict. That's it. She submits. No engagement. Not only do I not think that's biblical, I don't think that's wise. Women are not dodo birds. Your wife is your best counselor. Sure, some of her thinking can be tainted with sin. Aren't all of our thoughts tainted with selfishness and sin? But that is not to disqualify her from being your best counselor. So make those decisions together. And this is how we both grow. Doesn't mean you can necessarily give up on your desire to have more kids. You can keep bringing it up as long as it's loving with the honoring of her desires in view. Those conversations should be a lot sweeter rather than acrimonious. Jimmy, you got anything else to add to that?
This isn't children, having more children, but I can tell you from experience, these types of decisions made without the both being in agreement don't end well.
Almost never.
I came home with a brand new truck without consulting my wife one time. Dude. And that did not go very well at all.
Oh. Okay. You got a flat tire once. You called up Mrs. Hicks and she said something like, well, that was your decision, darling.
Yeah. I tell you what. This is how delusional I was. The whole time I'm driving home with this truck, I'm excited to show her the truck, thinking she's going to love it.
Be honest. You weren't exactly buying it for her.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I wasn't.
Because you were going to be the main driver of that bad boy, weren't you?
Definitely.
Yeah, you just want to do those things together. And that's what makes life and marriage so sweet. And it'll grow you. It has to grow you. It's just going to force you to become a better version of you. You just have to have more patience and love and a willingness to give in because it's just not that big of a deal. And as you do those things, your hearts get knit together. And best of all, in the middle of the night when the baby cries, you're not going to get an elbow to the ribs. We're just trying to help here. If you are thinking about getting married, your marriage trajectory should always be other, not me. My desires, my wants, my demands, always putting the other first. You know, I can think of a Bible verse in Philippians 2 that gives us a model for one who didn't come to be served, but to serve. Oh yeah, our Savior. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside-down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day, and that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Krotz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. What do you get when you combine 8 of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. Every day, our fellows deliver fresh content that tackles real issues. Dr. John Krotz shows you how to integrate theology into daily life. Brad Bigney transforms your struggling marriages into thriving relationships. Greg Gifford helps to bring biblical solutions to anxiety and depression. Plus, get exclusive access to private events, webinars, and studio sessions as a Fortis Insider. The best part? It's all free. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural waves. From podcasts and videos to live events and daily hot takes, Fortis Institute provides the biblical foundation you need to stand strong. Because in times like these, we need more than just information. We need transformation.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wow, there's a lot of stuff here. This is Wretched Radio. Permit me to be announcer boy Todd. Fortis Plus, now available on the following platforms: Roku, Fire and Apple TV, Google Play, Samsung, LG, and Vizio. All Fortis content now free and downloadable on all of those aforementioned, whatever they are. What are they? Streaming apps?
Yeah.
So if you got any of those streaming apps, so much for being announcer boy, you can get all of our content, and there are hundreds of hours of content. Absolutely free, courtesy of our gospel partners. Don't forget, we just dropped another episode of Transform Season 4. Outstanding. It's absolutely outstanding. You can watch that too. So you can download the app onto one of those platforms and you can watch Transform Season 4. Don't forget, all of our study guides are also at fortisplus.org, which means you can use all of our stuff for free at Sunday school. Looking for something for Sunday school? Look to Fortis Plus. Go look around. You'll see. We've got, dozens of Bible studies on biblical counseling, theology, typology in the Old Testament, parenting. It's all there. It is all free because of our gospel partners. And finally, September 23rd and 24th, be listening for more details. Get to be at University of North Georgia, then Kennesaw State University here in Atlanta. In October, we'll be in Oklahoma at the Oklahoma University. It's OU, right? They go with OU.
The Sooners, yeah.
Yeah, but somebody sent me an email that said, but the official name is University of Oklahoma. Is that right? I don't want to offend everybody in Oklahoma because I know that there's a little bit of a rivalry there. But is it University of Oklahoma or Oklahoma U? I know it's OU on the side of their helmets, so let's just go with that. That'll be in October. More details to come. And finally, would like to encourage you to go to the Wretched YouTube machine and look for Play the Man. We put this up a few weeks ago now. Maybe 20,000 guys have watched it. We'd like it to be 200,000 guys because there are at least that many that struggle with pornography. If that is your struggle, if that is your besetting sin, it's free too. We probably have it at Fortis Plus also, but you can find it at the YouTube machine. Watch the whole thing. And in fact, I think the first challenge that I give in that 3-hour presentation is commit to watching the whole thing. Because it's going to present your battle for sanctification, I think in a different light than what you probably heard. It's going to call you up to play the man and to do things that are they're loftier and they're better and they're grander and they're more impactful in a positive way toward the people who love you. So if you struggle with porn, visit the YouTube machine and look for a Wretched Play the Man and be set free. And something glorious is going to happen. You're going to change. Because if you're watching porn, especially on the regs, you don't know it, but you're becoming deformed. You say, well, I don't have a withered hand. I'm not talking about that deformity. I'm talking about being a man. You're becoming twisted and shriveled. That's what pornography does to you. And you don't even realize it, most likely. Oh, you feel little shame and guilt here and there. But you don't realize what porn is doing to you. And that means that if you, with the right motive, using the power of the Holy Spirit, become a victor in your battle of lust, you're going to stop being deformed. And you're going to be a man who walks upright and who enters a room not wondering, when's the shoe going to drop? And you're going to start to do things that are lasting and bigger. Like you'll be cherishing your wife and people are going to see your wife and go, wow, she's happy. Look at it. Huh? That must be a happy home right there. You can watch the entire presentation at the Wretched Machine, YouTube, Play the Man. Was talking to Paul Washer at the MacArthur Memorial. And this wasn't an endorsement of psychology or sociology, but he mentioned that he has a friend who is in that realm. And he said the number one determiner of a home that stays together and where the kids grow up to be productive citizens. Do you know what the number one factor, at least, okay, this is secondhand now, but according to a friend of Paul Washer's, which pretty much makes it sacrosanct. What is the component inside of a home that produces the most human flourishing in that context? Jimmy, you want to guess?
The element in the home that produces the most human flourishing.
Yeah.
Marriage.
But okay, but more specific, please.
I don't know.
Did you just say a joyful dad? That's it.
That's
a joyful dad drives a home. That it's the key component. Mom, believe me, you play a massive role. But as you play that role, if you've got a crabby dad, it's just undermining everything that you're doing. When a dad is joyful and excited and godly, everybody flourishes. Want to be that man? You got to be done with the pornography. You've got to be done with the pornography. Well, I had breakfast with a couple of friends, and this guy was so transparent. I was just so shocked at his transparency. He was talking about being a false convert, and that while he was married and looking at pornography. I was like, wow, okay, I didn't see that one coming, but okay. Well, one day he decided, Lord, I'm done with this. And the Lord convicted him and saved him. And so I asked the wife, I said, did you notice a change? And her response was fascinating. She said, yes. Because instead of just saying we should do this, he actually did things. Instead of saying, hey, we should go to that park and have a picnic, we actually went to that park and had a picnic. And instead of just saying we should really get the house in shape so that we can sell it, we got the house in shape and we sold it. He became a doer. That's what you'll become as you overcome sin. Porn is deforming you. Play the man and send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This is from Anonymous Joe. Not sure how anonymous that makes him, but he says, Todd,
he's like a regular Joe. Uh-huh. Maybe a little play on words. He's an anonymous Joe.
Okay. All right. He wants
But you can't be anonymous if you use a name, Joe.
He has a few questions about how Christians should respond to the lottery. I've heard it's a sin, but I'm not entirely sure why. I haven't heard much about the lottery. I haven't heard much about the lottery among fellow believers, but I'm wondering if you think God could use it as a blessing, providing someone with needed money, especially in this economy, or if, as Christians, we should have nothing to do with it at all.
Yeah, the former would be pragmatism, so that doesn't cut it, because we are not pragmatic people. Hey, we could win and it could benefit. Nope, we have to analyze the thing itself. Does God permit it? Does God forbid it? We always want to be careful. We don't make a law where there is no law. Having said that, I think we have enough implicit Bible verses to tell us, I think it's more than just dumb to give your money to the government via the lottery. I do go as far, and you could persuade me, I suppose, that I shouldn't say it's a sin, but I think it is, and here's why. Because number one, it's bad stewardship. If you entrusted me with some money, let's just say you gave me $1,000, and then you came back and you said, hey, what did you do with the money that I gave to you so that people could be blessed? And I said, well, not even sure where it went, all of that stuff. Do you have anything to show for it? No, I don't. Did people benefit from it? Well, no. No, they didn't benefit from it at all. You'd go, I don't think you were a good steward, ditto with the lottery. God gives us money. It's his. He entrusts us with every single penny. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to consider every cent that gets spent in your life. But when you're talking about ordering your finances, yeah, you need to be looking at that bigger picture accounting. Am I being a good steward with this? Is the lottery good stewardship? Despite what they tell you that somebody's got to win, it ain't going to be you. The odds are too preposterous. They are not reasonable odds. That's what I think distinguishes this between wise investing and foolish use of money. The lottery's a foolish use. You ain't going to win. If it's an investment that is smart and sound and has a history, that's not a sin. Blowing money on the hopes that you're going to get rich, I think that the Bible would speak against that. Furthermore, the heart that goes behind that desire to get rich. Furthermore, the lottery system, it doesn't empower people. It impoverishes them even further. So for all of those reasons, I would say, no, thumbs down on the lottery. Be a better steward. And something will happen too. as you become more open-handed with your money, as you become as generous as our God and Savior is, oh man, I think there's something in a book somewhere that talks about cheerful giving and the eternal rewards that come from it. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.